Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And happy weekend to you. I'm Frank Rush. It's good to have you along. Welcome to another edition of Focus on Community. And of course, don't forget, if you miss anything in today's show, you want to go back and listen again, just look for this as a podcast on our website. Of course, in the news, it's been all the news here lately, is the pandemic concerning COVID-19 or coronavirus, however you'd like to call it. Dr. Stephen Templeton is the Associate Professor of Microbiology and Immunology at the IU School of Medicine based here in Terre Haute. And he joins us today to talk about this. Dr. Templeton, welcome to the program. It's good to have you along today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to be here, Frank. Thanks.
So, microbiology and immunology, give us a little bit of an idea as to exactly what it is that you actually teach and what you study.
So, I teach first-year medical students in a course called Host Defense. And that's a combination of microbiology and immunology. So, microbiology being all the bugs and germs, and immunology being how the host responds to those bugs. And we kind of put it all together in a six-week package, and it's pretty intensive, and we're actually doing it right now.
And right now you're doing it online as we talk because your classes no longer happen in the classroom, right?
Yeah, that's correct. IU went completely online last week. And, you know, we have some capabilities to do this because we have people on different campuses that teach across the state. And on different campuses, we have 9 campuses. And so we have the ability to do this. I haven't done it extensively because I mainly teach in front of the students here in Terre Haute. And I like to do that. But obviously that's not in the cards right now. So.
Well, Doctor, if you would tell me and everybody else, because we all hear coronavirus, COVID-19, but I'm not really sure that everybody fully understands what it is. So the obvious question, what is this that we're dealing with now? What is a COVID-19 or a coronavirus?
Well, a coronavirus is a virus. It's like influenza. It infects host cells of the respiratory tract, so in the lungs. And it causes symptoms that are similar to the flu, but it seems to affect individuals in a specific category, that is people with chronic health disease, chronic health problems that are over the age of 70.
So with that said, is this worse than the flu or the same and only different? How do you categorize this?
Well, I think you can make the comparison. Both are circulate widely. Obviously, we know coronavirus is a pandemic now. With the flu, we have basically a pandemic every year. The difference is we don't really know as much about the coronavirus as we do about the flu. We have a lot of experience with that. We know who's infected and in a given year we can look back and have all those numbers, and we don't really have those numbers for COVID-19 right now.
Is this something new, or is it something that's been around for a while but we just haven't really noticed it because it hasn't had that big of an impact here in America?
Well, the idea is that it originated in China, and that does happen for some of the flu viruses as well, because they have an extensive wet market there where individuals are more interacting with animals that can harbor some of these viruses, chickens, ducks, bats, other types of animals. And in the case of flu, those animals can be infected with strains of the flu, and they tend to change or recombine, and then they're eventually they recombine into something that it can infect humans and get into the population. That happens with flu frequently every year, and it's very hard to predict what that strain is going to look like, and that's why people who design vaccines have to go and try to predict what those strains are going to be in order to design the vaccine for the next year. For coronavirus, it doesn't seem to happen very often. The last one was SARS. That one was supposedly in a reservoir that was civets, which are like a cat. I don't remember how that was determined, but there was an animal reservoir that was identified. So there's a lot less known about that one. Unless it's a lot scarier because we don't have the same information.
So how hard is it to come up with a vaccine? I'm trying to give folks an idea here. I mean, they go, oh, wow, you know, American medicine is great. It's usually pretty quick. But how hard are these scientists really working, and how difficult is their job to try to come up with a vaccine for this particular strain?
Yeah, it's very difficult, at least to do it quickly. This will have all been passed by the time there's a vaccine for this virus. I think it's a very interesting area of research and a very important one to devise ways to develop vaccines quickly. That being said, we still have a approval process, you know, through the FDA that requires these things be tested and be assured that they're safe before they're used.
And that's important because we certainly don't want to jump the gun and wind up giving somebody something that's worse than the actual disease that they have, right?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there are very few examples, but there are some examples of vaccines that were developed that made things, you know, worse as far as the disease. The RSV, if you've heard of that one, has not had a vaccine that worked very well. That's one example I can think of. So these do have to be tested. They have to undergo extensive preclinical trials and then clinical trials. And that's something that will take a while. And this current situation will be long past at that point.
Dr. Stephen Templeton's our guest today. He's the Associate Professor of Microbiology and Immunology at the IU School of Health, or Medicine, I should say. And he is actually based here in Terre Haute and teaches classes over on the ISU campus, which is where they have these at. And he's our guest today. And so if they do develop a vaccine for this, is it going to be out of date as soon as they develop it? I mean, will this COVID-19 change every year like the flu does? Because every year they come up with a new flu vaccine to hopefully take care of what they think is going to happen. So will this kind of be the same thing?
Yeah, I don't think so. The flu is very well adapted to changing every year. That's just the way that it replicates. It can mutate very easily. And therefore, you know, this year's vaccine won't work on next year's flu virus. And, you know, for the coronavirus, if you compare this COVID-19 with SARS, I think it's about 80% similar in genes. That's pretty different. And, you know, it's a span of almost 20 years. I'd say, I think it was 2003 when the whole SARS scare was. That's a long period of time. And I personally don't think that we're going to see a seasonal coronavirus, I mean, of this magnitude. A lot of a substantial portion of cold viruses are actually in the coronavirus family. So it's useful to think of it that way, too. There are other viruses that are similar that are kind of always circulating, but they just don't have that same kind of effect, especially in populations like we're seeing with older folks and people with chronic health conditions.
Why does it seem like it does pick on older people? Is it just because they do have other health issues? Or, I mean, is there something there? I mean, what makes old people more susceptible to this?
Yeah, I don't completely know the answer to that. It's a lot more, it seems to be a lot more selective than the flu. Because the mortality that you see from the flu isn't just older folks, although it tends to skew in that direction. The coronavirus seems a lot more selective, even though they're both respiratory viruses. They they have that difference for sure, and I don't really know why that is. That's going to be an interesting thing for scientists to look at.
What do you think of what's been done so far as far as preventative measures go? I mean, obviously we've not shut down the country as a whole yet, but in some areas we're getting very close to it, and I know lots of folks are talking about it. So do you think what we've done, is this helping us, or is this something that we're just kind of taking a stab in the dark and hoping it works?
Yeah, I mean, I really sympathize with people who are in positions of authority. They have to manage the expectations of the public and what they think the public expects of them. I think the public probably expects a little bit too much out of them, and I think they're responding to that. I have a lot of mixed feelings about it. Time will sort of sort out whether this was a good move or not to close vast portions of the economy. It's going to have a huge effect on small businesses, and it might deplete resources to the point where, people who are actually more susceptible to severe disease don't get treatment when they need it. And then people with other chronic conditions, might not get treatment for those individually if we have a system that's under stress. So I'm concerned about the response as well as the virus itself. I think it's very important to focus on the susceptible people and the vulnerable population. For the rest of us, it's less of an issue. They don't want people to transmit it to folks that are vulnerable. But at the same time, as an immunologist, I do acknowledge that at some point, if you have a mild case of it, you're going to be protected, much as if you had a vaccine. Having the disease as a substitute for that, if it's pretty mild, then you're going to be fine after that. And even more than fine, you'll be protected.
Is this what you would call one of the more easily transmittable diseases that are out there?
Yeah, I don't think we know the answer to that. So we don't know the number of mild cases and how quickly things spread. I mean, we've been able to study the flu just extensively, and we know how many people different carriers can transmit on average from the flu to other people. When you see some of these numbers about COVID-19, it's an estimate. I mean, we don't have that sort of research backing it yet. We don't really know. We don't really know for sure.
Why does it seem to be worse overseas than it is here? I mean, I know that's a hard question to answer.
That's actually a really good question. I've thought a lot about this. I mean, Italy and the United States are not a one-to-one comparison in my mind. They have the oldest population in Europe, and I think they have more clusters of vulnerable people, and it's definitely a terrible situation there. I'm not sure that it's going to translate directly to what we have here. They have a different healthcare system. I don't know how prepared it was to handle this kind of a situation, but clearly they've been hit harder than anybody thus far.
I realize this is probably maybe a little bit more opinion than maybe fact possible when I ask this question, but it's like, why are we not better prepared to handle something like this? Or is it just because you can't be better prepared to handle something like this with the speed in which it kind of spread?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. I think, we live in an age of globalization where, it used to take a week. If you had symptoms, you had to get on a ship and transmit it to people in the ship, and the ship would arrive at port and then spread it, there. And so you had some time, but you didn't have the same level of communication. We have instant communication and almost instant travel. that creates a unique situation that we've never had. And, you know, if we do certain things like figure out how to develop rapid tests for infection so that we know who's infected, because right now we don't have that capability. Every time there's something new, we have to go through a process to develop the diagnostics. But there might be a way to speed that up, and I think that would be an important area to focus research.
As a doctor, as a doctor in immunology and microbiology, tell me, what's it like to test for this? What is it that has to be done, and why does it seem to take so long?
Well, first of all, I'm not a physician. I'm a professor, so I don't see patients. But I do know basically how the test works, and that's looking for the viral genes itself. They become amplified specific for that virus in a way that determines that that virus is present. There'll be another way to measure in folks that have recovered from the infection, and that would be to measure the immune response, much like you would measure the immune response to a vaccine to know that it worked. You can measure the immune response to vaccination a year or even more after the infection, and you can tell an individual's had it. So it'll be interesting to see who has, had exposure to the virus, who has antibodies toward it, because that's basically what you're measuring when you're measuring the immune response. And I think that's going to be very useful to do.
So when they tell us to basically wash our hands, use hand sanitizer, is that really the best advice, or are there other things that we should do to try to ward off this COVID-19 bug?
Well, hand washing is always a good thing. I wouldn't discourage that. I do think hand sanitizer is probably a little bit less effective than people give it credit for. It's better than nothing, but I personally don't put a lot of stock in it. I think washing your hands is much more effective.
And is it really going to be is it something that everybody needs to be? I mean, obviously you want to keep yourself clean, but is that going to be what bails us out of this?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of the things we can do right now. And that's, we have to focus on things we can do. But I would, encourage people to not panic and follow the precautions, and, we'll get out of this in a few weeks, I think.
As a side note to this, obviously you're teaching students and you've gone through a lot of the classes that you're teaching yourself now. How hard is it to get to be in your profession? And would you encourage more kids to kind of become involved?
Sure. I didn't know, as an immunologist, I didn't actually know anything about immunology until I went to college. I went to Missouri State, and I took an immunology class and had walked in with absolutely zero knowledge about it. And the professor started talking about vaccines and working with animals and using them as models for human disease. And, I just walked out there that first day and said, I think that's what I want to do.
And I take it your job is kind of like a giant mystery. It's a big puzzle to solve. And that's what folks in your profession do. You're looking for the answer to the next big mystery.
Absolutely, and it happens very, very slowly. And I think, with a lot of hard work. And I think it's very difficult to appreciate if you're not faced with those problems every day.
Yeah, patience is probably something good to have in your job.
Yeah, I don't think you'll survive if you don't have that.
Dr. Stephen Templeton is the Associate Professor of Microbiology and Immunology with the IU School of Medicine and teaches here in Terre Haute. Over at ISU on campus is where the IU School of Medicine is at. It's over on the ISU campus. Right now, doing all of his classes online since the classrooms are closed, giving us a little bit of an insight as to what's up with COVID-19 and the coronavirus. We thank him for spending some time with us today. And if you missed part of our program, we'd like to go back and listen to it again. Just drop by our website. Look for the podcast. It's right there on the front page, and you can take a listen again. That's it for this week's program. We'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.